Before we get into our text today, I just want to ask you a question: where your heart is at from maybe today, or this past week, or month, or year. Maybe today you're here, you got a heart of joy because something happened this week. It was an answer to prayer, and you're in cloud nine, mountaintop experience. Maybe this week it's been less than wonderful, and you're in a valley of suffering or hardship this week. Maybe for you kids out there, school's starting in a couple weeks for some, and maybe you're anxious about that. Anxious, who's your teacher going to be and your friends? Maybe within your family there's things that are causing anxiousness. And we all have these times, kind of these mountaintop experiences as well as the lowly valleys. There's kind of this cycle that goes on. And I've heard it before said, you know, haven't done research, but personal experience would vouch for this, that oftentimes we're in three spots with a valley. We're either in the valley of lowly time, we're coming out of a valley and things are looking up, or we're heading off a mountain going into a valley. So three ways. Either way, there's a valley coming up. And I just don't want to start out today, this sermon, too pessimistic about valleys, talking about that. But there seems to be a cycle there. And what I want to look at today is what will carry us through those cycles, those mountains, those valleys that we face. When we're weak, maybe too weak to pray, what will carry us through? Where do we turn to? Maybe somehow we're left out there to figure out this valley on our own. We've got to figure it out by ourselves. Or even better, who's in charge of this whole? Who's in charge of this mountain, valley, this cycle that keeps going on? Who's in charge of these things? And what's our response no matter what place we find ourselves in? Well, earlier this summer, I found myself, as I do at times, in one of these situations. And the month of June was coming up, and amongst my responsibilities here at the church, June also means other things in our house. For one, George's birthday is on June 29. Harry's birthday is on June 19th. I got to look down here. I'm getting them right on my nose. Our anniversary is on June 20. Father's Day is somehow mashed in there. All right, and it was a good one. But besides that, I also had a speaking opportunity out in Colorado. I was going to speak at a camp, speak 11 different times, something I've not done that much. That was coming up, and we were going to start something new here this summer, doing a VBS family camp. That was coming up in June, kind of a new project that we were working on. And back then, if you remember, I had a sermon to do back in June. Paul decided to head out of town and went to the conference, had that going on. So if you were to look at the forecast for June, just personally, it looked mostly busy with an 80% chance of stress. That was the forecast. That's what I was kind of looking out there. And but thankfully, by God's grace, Hannah and I think it was around June 1st, we were able to get away by ourselves out to Kannapolis State Park. You know where that is? Just up northwest of here, northwest of McPherson. Celebrate our anniversary out there, some time away. And I think God just really comfort me and calm me down a bit with His Word, with a passage that we're going to read about today. And it's a comfort that no matter the item, whether I succeeded in my summer ahead or if I failed, that what was ahead in my life could be for God's glory. He'd see me through it because He was able to see me through it. And so we're going to just revisit that passage today by the Holy Spirit's guidance. I want to comfort you with that same word from the Lord that we're going to find. But I want to pray before we get into that. So let's pray. Lord, You are our Redeemer and our friend. And You've seen us through a lot of valleys and mountains this summer alone. Father, we just come to Your presence right now. And I'm not able. You're able to speak through Your Word. Would You just come by Your Holy Spirit and speak to us, speak to my heart, speak to the hearts that are hearing this. You'd be exalted and lifted up through what we share in these next few minutes here. We commit this time to You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I don't think Brett knew this is where we were going, but we're in the same book where he was just out of. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21 is where we're going to end up. So while you're getting there, we're going to read it in a bit. I just want to give you some background because we're starting kind of mid-book here. So Ephesians, obviously a book. It's written by the Apostle Paul, written to the Ephesians or the city of Ephesus or the folks in that area of town. It's kind of a wide area. And he was writing while he was in prison. So this is he's in prison, he's writing to these folks in Ephesus. And Ephesians 1:3, just to give a background, kind of some chapters of what's been going on. It begins the book by explaining, we heard Brett read this, just how God has blessed us or given us gifts in Christ and the riches that are the believers, those riches that are ours, according to God's glorious riches in Christ. And then chapter 2 kind of reviews the believer's salvation. Remember maybe that famous verse, it's by grace, salvation's by grace through faith. We read about that and how it's made the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, and the Jewish people, it's brought them together, it's made them one in Christ. They're now one before Him. They're no more divided, but one family. And at the end of chapter 2, he says, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Well, chapter 3 begins with a thought. Paul starts out, and then he's interrupted for a little while. And he starts out, he says, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, and then he breaks it off there. My Bible has a little dash there. He pauses here just to explain his ministry of preaching to the Gentiles. And later on through this chapter, verse 13, talks about his suffering. He explains that it's actually for their glory and for their good. And Paul was just being obedient, in prison, obedient to the call of God to preach to the Gentiles. And this call happened to land him in prison. And he was going to endure suffering. Yet it was for their good. And they could be encouraged and motivated by Paul's willingness to suffer for Christ. Christ and his calling, they were worthy to suffer for. God had a purpose in the sufferings of Paul. Well, in the next 8 verses, starting at 14, Paul's going to now pray for these Gentiles to be built up in their relationship with God. What we're going to read today is a prayer that he prayed for these Gentile believers. And that's what we're going to study. So let's stand together and honor God. And let's read verses 14 through 21 in Ephesians. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're just going to go verse by verse here through this passage and kind of dig in and just understand what some of the themes and truths are that Paul's talking about here and see where it's all leading to. Where is this prayer leading to at the end here? We start off just in verse 14 where he says, for this reason I bow my knees. Again, he's kind of picking up a thought that he left for the majority of the chapter so far. You know, he started the chapter, I want to tell you this, but before I do, here's this. And now we're going back to that theme. And that theme was that in Him you're being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's what since that's the case, for this reason, because you're being built together, now I'm going to pray for you. So Paul was bowing to the Father that these saints would be able to understand some great and awesome truths about what they now had in Christ. You know, you just think of it. How would you like the Apostle Paul to say, I'm going to pray for you? I'll pray for you on that. Praying for our relationship with the Lord. It'd be really neat, you know. Oh, man, Paul's praying for me. And that's what he was doing here. And basically, here's what. I pray that they know this. And now he's going to go on to here's what he wants them to know. Verse 14 kind of goes into verse 15. So I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I'll just camp out there a little bit. As my study Bible kind of rightly points out here, God is, he's saying he's sovereign over all of creation. All creation's identity is with God who created all things. And Paul was just detailing just whom it was he was praying to. It wasn't some man-made God. This was the God. And he had said later, earlier in chapter 3, he's the creator of all things. And therefore, he's the father of all. Just a side note for us when we pray, you know, sometimes we pray Heavenly Father. Just to know who that is we're praying to. He's the only Father. You know, once we are in our sin, we're alienated from Him, an enemy of Him. And now through Christ, we have boldness. This chapter talks about in other places, boldness and access, confidence before Him through Christ, through faith in Christ. And Paul's talked about that. And now we can come to the Heavenly Father. And I want you just to sink in who it is we can come to when we pray, the Almighty Father. For some of us, it's a hard picture because our earthly Father is not like our Heavenly Father. And we've got to kind of separate the two sometimes. Maybe your earthly Father was quick to anger, not slow to anger like God is. Maybe your earthly Father was harsh and gave you what you deserved, unlike God who offers mercy and grace. Maybe your earthly Father, maybe he never said, I love you, or maybe very little, unlike God who abounds in steadfast love. Maybe your earthly Father wasn't faithful, unlike God or Heavenly Father who abounds in faithfulness. Or your earthly Father dealt with the same disease that we all deal with, and that's sin. Unlike our Heavenly Father, who's holy, He's perfect, He's always doing the right thing, He's never messing up, He's never failing, absolutely truthful, He's full of light, not darkness. So I just want to try and help us form a right idea of who this Father is that Paul's praying to here. So we'll keep going on here. Verse 16, you see those words, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Well, what about these riches of glory? We just mentioned, just even in that, the comparison earthly Father to our Heavenly Father, some of the riches of God's glory. And that was just some. So I want to define the word glory a little bit here just to help us, because we're going to see it later on, and we use it a lot, actually. But if you're like me, it's kind of hard to put our hands around what. When we sing glory to God or God's glory, what do we mean? What is that? And let's just go into that a little bit, that word glory. You know, one commentary I was looking at has a good definition. The glory of God talks about it being the sum total of all His attributes. So for those younger ears that are listening, basically it's, add it all up, it's the whole bucket full of all the things that God is. All the things I've mentioned, all the things that I haven't mentioned, who God is, it's His greatness. To me, just very simply in the word glory, you see the first three letters, G-L-O, glow. I think of glow-in-the-dark stickers, flashlights glow. They shine. They shine with brilliance or brightness and splendor. And there's an old Webster's Dictionary that talks about God's glory, kind of defining it as brightness or glory as being brightness or splendor. Remember Psalm 19:1? The heavens declare the glory of God. They declare His brightness, His awesomeness. The heavens aren't God, but they declare it. They speak to who He is. And we remember in Isaiah, it talks about that we're created for His glory. Created to come to Him, delight in Him. Glory is, in one word, glory is God. Who God is. It's the expression of so many things that make God, God. It's all of His attributes, His ways, all of His riches express all the splendor and brightness of His glory. And God is about His glory. We're going to see more of this in a bit. But we must understand that God is, and here's what Martin Luther, he said, God is the source of all blessings in heaven and on earth. The source. He's simply the best thing we could desire and long for, whereas nothing else comes even close. So ultimate glory then is really ultimately God. Ultimate glory, the ultimate best thing is ultimately God. It's the ultimate best thing. Well, according to what we just described here and these riches, Paul then goes on to pray for them in the same verse to be strengthened, verse 16, with power through His Spirit. We can praise God that our strength comes from the one who's the strongest. It doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the one who's most powerful. And it comes through His Spirit. It's kind of the how of strength. It's how that happens. We're strengthened by His Spirit, which He's given us. I'm going to put up 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 22, that also written by Paul, that talk about this. It says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Okay, so we have God's Spirit. When we're trusting in Christ, we have His Spirit living within us, in our hearts, our strength. This isn't the end, though. There's more to Paul's prayer, and there's a point why Paul desires them to be strengthened by the Spirit. So let's go on to verse 17 here. All right. Here's another kind of so that. This is all kind of building up to an end. It says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So far, we've studied the Father, God the Father. God the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. God the Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see the Trinity at work here in this whole prayer? Paul talks about it in other places, and you'll see the Trinity at work. But just in these first couple of verses, the Trinity's at work here. The three in one working towards us, towards our salvation. And after that, it says that you being rooted and grounded in love. The salvation, Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, it's really the beginning. It's just the start of understanding the love of God towards us. It's the beginning of the journey. It's kind of where we begin to understand and be rooted in the love God has for us. Verse 18 continues the prayer, "that you may have strength to comprehend." We're weak and powerless to know Christ's love for us, and we need the Spirit's work and power to understand it. He must dwell and live and abide so that we can understand His great love for us. The neat thing is, it's not a matter of effort, or maybe later today I'll be loved. Maybe I can keep trying. Someday I'll get it. Someday I'll be right and I'll be worthy of the love of God. No. No, be encouraged. Christ's love is for you today. You that have Christ dwelling in your hearts are loved. Just let that sink. Child of God, you are loved. I am loved by Christ. Not just a little, but now let's look at how great this love is. Not just a little bit of love for today. It goes on, "that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints." Here it is. "What is the height and depth and breadth and length of the love of Christ?" This love surpasses knowledge. You can't understand the dimensions of Christ's love for you. It's beyond knowledge. It's beyond what we can know. And this is the love of Christ towards us. You are loved. My dad is into ice carvings, and he does them now for weddings. Back 12 years ago when we got married, he did an ice carving for our wedding. It was very nice. It was free of charge because it was my dad. And if I remember right, I was trying to remember this, there was a cross that he had, and there was two hearts in front of the cross. Kind of, so, cross made of ice, two hearts, and some hands coming out of the cross. Did I remember that right? Okay, all right. I'm looking at my wife. All right, two hands coming out of that cross, kind of embracing these two hearts. Two hearts, Hannah and I, okay, cross, Christ. Well, Dad likes to put phrases sometimes, and certain phrases of what he does, he likes to put in a frame right in front of the ice sculpture. So there's some meaning. You know, it's not just a nice fancy carving in ice, but there's a meaning. Well, in ours, he put the phrase, just a simple phrase, "isn't it great to be loved?" And that's what we could say here after reading all this, all these things. We just praise God. Isn't it great to be loved by God? We didn't earn this by His grace. But that's kind of the phrase we want to maybe put out here just as we come into this. Isn't it great to be loved? Well, there's a purpose to knowing this great love. And verse 19 says, here it is, "that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This is being full on the most delightful and good things. We talked about how good God is. Okay, so we started out according to the riches of God's glory, through the power of His Spirit working in you, having Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you know this immeasurable love of Christ for you, and all leading up to that you be filled with the fullness of God. It's all leading up to our being filled with the fullness of God. Now I want to read again from another book, 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, that kind of talk more about this. It says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God." It's up here. It says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. That word abides, kind of abode or home, dwells within, remains, dwells in him. That's the love of God. And we need ears and hearts to hear and understand, comprehend the things that Paul's talking about, praying for here. We can't earn or merit this kind of love. We've talked about that. But once you've tasted it and found the riches in God alone through Christ, why would you or I go back to the delights that the world outside this window, outside this building, why would we go back to the delights that the world offers when we've tasted of the greatest delight in the Lord? The best is here. There's treasure in this book to know this glorious God even more. We've scratched the surface of who God is, and we get to know Him more through His Word. It's where we need to be to understand His love for us. Well, Paul ends with a great, encouraging benediction. The end of the prayer here. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." He is able to do far more. He's able to go beyond even our earthly prayers, more than we ask. He's going beyond what we think, beyond our minds. He's able to love. He's able to sustain. He's able to give power. You hear that? He's able. He is able. Sometimes you don't know the things that are left behind in the church after a Sunday here, but sometimes I come in on a Monday and find some things. And I happened to find somebody that had wrote out a prayer. And it happened to be one of Hannah's relatives. They were visiting on a Sunday. So I was looking out around the seats, and here it was. And I read this, and I made a copy of it before I gave it back to him. But I thought this kind of sums up how God is able. This sums up what we're trying to say here, just how abundantly able He is. Here was his prayer. It said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. With you alone, O Lord, do the prayers of yesterday become the thanksgivings of today. I asked for mercy, and you gave me grace. I asked for forgiveness, and you gave me life. I asked for understanding, and you gave me peace that surpasses understanding. I asked for direction, you gave me a shepherd. I asked for wisdom, and you gave me patience. I asked for a friend, and you gave me a companion. You turned my waiting into gladness and my wonder into assurance. With all that you have given, what is it that you ask of me, Lord, but to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving? In faith, then, I will say thank you. In humility, I will offer up my praise, and in joy, I will worship your name forever. Let me not cease to give the only thing I have and ever will have, to give you a sacrifice of thanksgiving all the days of my life, being the only acceptable expression for all that you are and all that you want to be in and through me. May my thanksgiving always attend to the great times, the sorrowful times, the joyous times, and the painful times until you call me home to be with you. By faithfulness you have established your way, and by thanksgiving I am your servant to receive it. Yes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Amen." This is a neat... I mean, this guy just wrote this prayer. But it sums it up, doesn't it? We want peace. He gives the peace that surpasses understanding. He's able to do abundantly more. And how is He able? It's through the power at work within us, through His Spirit. Because of the indwelling of His Spirit, we have God's power at work within us. And we can say, for what reason? Why the power? Why is this? Goes back to the goal of God and our purpose. Verse 21, to Him be glory. To God be the glory. Eyes that look on God as the most delightful, abundant, sufficient, powerful, working in a million different ways, able to save, able to carry, glorious God. For His glory. And it ends, to Him be the glory in the church, in His body, us as the local church, and the church around the world as believers are together. He desires glory and praise. And He also desires glory. It comes through His Son, Christ Jesus. That's what's neat. His glory comes through Christ. He's glorified through Christ Jesus. Put up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts. There's that shining again. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus, we experience the glory of God. You know, I started out by telling you about the start of my summer, and perhaps it was kind of like your start, or maybe it's where you find yourself today, where we can be in this place often. We're busy, unsure, or maybe not certain, or overwhelmed by what life, what valley we're in. You may have Christ dwelling in your heart, but you know that you haven't been living like a child of the King. Or maybe you've never put your faith in Christ to save you, and to save you from your sins, and you need to take that first step to experience the love of Christ. Maybe you just need to hear those three words today. He is able. Those three words. I just want to talk to that just a little bit, to those that have not come to Christ through faith. I just invite you today to do that. This day, this Sunday, not before another day slips away. The Bible says God demonstrated His love for you, a sinner, by sending Christ to die for you. Die in your place. Die for your sin and pay for it. And if you're ready to admit that, yes, I've sinned, chosen my ways over the ways of the God who created me, and you're ready to receive Jesus as your Savior by faith, I just invite you to call out to Him and He'll save you. And to the others, life has brought us into many unique situations. Can't guess them all, where all of us land. But I just invite all of us to come back to the One who's able. He's able to bring back the brokenhearted. He's able to restore us, to bring Him glory. Him glory rather than ourselves. He's able. And I want to take a minute just in prayer to silently in your heart, just call out to the One who is able. We're not praying that everything in life will turn out all nice and pretty. Because we know life, we can expect suffering. Like Paul, he was in prison. He had suffering. Yet he had joy in that. We want to pray for God's glory to shine out because it's the best thing. His glory can shine as we trust in the Savior. His glory can shine as we trust Him both on the mountaintops of our life, down in the valley. His glory can shine. He's able, and to Him be the glory. Let's take a minute. I just want to invite you to take time, talk to the Lord, and then we'll end in prayer. Lord God, our riches, You have abundant riches in Your glory. By strength, You've given us power through Your Spirit. When we trust in Christ, Jesus, You dwell in our hearts. Father, we need Your help to understand the width and depth of Your love for us on a daily basis. We can understand it here in these times of worship. But we get to our place of work on Monday morning and it seems to be different stories. Father, would You carry us through this week to know the love You have for us? To look on You and look on Your brilliant, bright face shown through Christ. Takes away all our sins, makes us right before You, Lord. We can take the week on, not in our power, but in Your strength. Lord, I ask You, those that are struggling to believe and trust that You are able, would You strengthen their belief? Would You bring us all that place where we can say, to God be the glory, no matter if I'm on a mountain or a valley, to You be the glory, Lord, no matter where life finds me. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.